We'll go back to the beginning of Matthew for a little bit here. All right? The words you just heard a little while ago. When you think about it, this is a very curious way to begin a gospel. There are other ways that Matthew could have begun telling us the story of Jesus. For instance, he could have told us how after Jesus was baptized, he went out and preached a great sermon. No, that's kind of how Luke began his gospel. That's one of the first things he tells us about a sermon that Jesus preached, a message that he had. But Matthew, he doesn't do that. Of course, we know that what is significant about Jesus is not just his words, but his actions. So Matthew could have told us about one of his great actions that he did, a great miracle that he came up with, or a tremendous act of compassion that Jesus performed. But Matthew doesn't do that either. No, the first thing that he tells us is that Jesus goes out and calls people to come help him, to give him a hand. You hear it again. Go back to Matthew 4, 17. What does it say? Jesus has his message. It's compressed into a little short phrase. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Now, he went out to say a whole lot more than that, but that's the essence of his message. And right after he announces his message, what does he do? He goes and enlists some very ordinary people to help him with this mission. I mean, these guys were really ordinary. What was their profession? They were fishermen. I mean, maybe in today's society it would be like Jesus walking up to a bunch of Mexicans who are putting out mulch on the side of the road or doing some yard work, and he'd say, "Hey, you guys, follow me." They're just a bunch of fishermen. And it's very, very interesting that, first of all, Matthew tells us, yeah, he tells us about Jesus being baptized and about this big booming voice coming out of heaven. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." And then what do we see? The very next thing. Jesus is not the Lone Ranger. He's not going to do this thing all by himself. He calls people to help him bring in the kingdom of God, which is near, right here, in me, in us, in you. And that's what he says today, because here we are, you and I are assistants to Jesus in this task, just as much as Peter and Andrew and James and John. Your name's been added to the list of people he's walked up to and said, "Hey, follow me. Hey, do this job with me." There's this great big wide net of the gospel that he wants us to cast out into the world to pull people into this new family, this new friendship network that he is creating. He calls it the kingdom of God. But if the truth be known, you and I feel a real disconnection between ourselves and those early disciples. And you know, there's probably many reasons, but you know one reason is? One reason is the difference in their fishing experience and our own. I mean, think about it. Why do you go fishing? Why do you go fishing? Is it to feed your kids? Do you go fishing for food? Do you go fishing because our children will starve to death unless you get out there and go fishing? Heavens no! We go fishing for recreation, right? I mean, you take this guy right here. Okay? You see that guy? Now, I know with the cap and with the glasses, he bears a striking resemblance to Lee Thompson. I don't know why that is, but this guy went out and caught a great big fish. Lee, how big was that bass? 11 pounds, 5 ounces. Lee caught this fish last weekend at Briary Lake. And you know what he did with that fish right after he caught it? Actually, he paid the guy who caught it to let him take his picture with it here, right? No, Lee caught that fish. And you know what he did with it right after he caught it? He put it back. Let it go. How about that? Doesn't that demonstrate what we're talking about? My friend Scott has another friend, and they went out fishing on the James River and caught big catfish. This thing weighed 80-some pounds, more than 80 pounds. I forgot what it was. But Scott's friend caught this fish. And I looked at this picture, and I thought the guy got so excited he wet his pants there. But But that's where the fish landed in his lap when they got it in the boat, really, there. But you know what they did with this fish after that? They just let it go. So you and I don't fish the same the way those first fishermen did that Jesus was talking to. This was their livelihood. This was their business. This really mattered whether or not they caught fish or not. Either they wouldn't make money or they wouldn't have anything to eat. So it was a big deal. We just fish for the recreation of it. I know I don't fish much anymore, but I do hunt. And that's why I do it. It's not because my kids need it or my wife and I have to live off that food we eat. And most of the time, I don't even bother to shoot something. I just enjoy seeing them because it's too much trouble after you do take care of them like that. But here's our problem, you see. We treat the calling of Jesus Christ to go out into the world to fish for men the same way we treat fishing. Oh, it's kind of recreational. Well, yeah, you can do it if you want to. Oh, if you enjoy it, yeah, go out and do it. But if not, that's okay. Take it or leave it. That's our problem. We treat witnessing that way. But does Jesus talk about fishing for people as being optional? As being recreational? As it being an undertaking that you go about and do if you feel like it? That's not the way Jesus fishes. That's not the way Jesus talks. The Bible scholar Tom Wright has said that two of the most important characteristics of Jesus' ministry are announcement and invitation. And they're right here for us in Matthew 4. He's got an announcement to make and then he's got an invitation to give, right? You, follow me, be part of this. Help me do this. The promised kingdom is not coming to us with somebody walking up and asking us, hey, here's the kingdom of God. Do you agree? That's not Jesus' question. He walks up and he says, hey, you going to follow or not? You just going to sit there and keep catching fish? Or would you guys like to go out and really do something important and catch people? A Messiah who does not invite is not Jesus. And a church that stops inviting is not Jesus' church. Did you know that? In the light of that, there's a very disturbing question to be asked of you today. Have you caught any people for the kingdom of God lately? Have you caught any fish? Have you caught any people and brought them into this kingdom Jesus is talking about? Ooh, time to squirm, time to look at the ceiling, time to look at the floor. Because, you know, if you're the average churchgoer, the answer is what? No. Not only not lately, but maybe even, no, I don't even remember ever bringing somebody into the kingdom like this. We seem to have gotten out of the fishing business, haven't we? Again, this seems like a very odd way to begin a gospel, for Jesus to be standing alongside a lake, talking to a bunch of fishermen, asking them if they want to join him in catching other fish than the fish they're talking about. Pretty ordinary. Pretty ordinary, isn't it? But that is probably the way that you and I were brought into the kingdom, in really ordinary ways. If I were to ask you, everyone who was brought into the kingdom of God with a dramatic conversion, you know, a blinding light met you on the road and knocked you to the ground. Did that happen to you when you got saved? Was there some tremendous miracle that brought you into the kingdom of God? I doubt we'd see many hands raised. Or was it something really dramatic, a mountaintop experience? And most of us would probably say, no, I just kind of grew into it. I kind of slid into it. I just was kind of brought into it gradually or gently. Most of us had loving parents or grandparents or family members who had this habit. They had this habit of going to church and they made us go to church. Hey, that's a good habit. Don't say bad stuff about habits, especially when they're good habits. That's a very, very good one. And other people were invited by a friend. The friend who sat next to them in the desk at work or in the office, or the person who lived next door, they were the one who said, hey, Would you want to come with me? Come with me. Very ordinary. Very, very ordinary. Let me tell you about one very ordinary experience. Many years ago, there was a little girl by the name of Glendora. And Glendora, that's kind of an odd name, but that was her name. She went to church. She loved the Lord. She had a friend. And she invited her little girlfriend to come with her to Sunday school. That little girl, family didn't go to church at all, didn't know the Lord, but this little girl went with her friend, Glendora, to Sunday school. And she ended up giving her life to the Lord Jesus Christ and loving Him. That little girl brought her sister, and she started coming to church with her. And then their mother started to attend church with them as well. And little bit by little, after a while, their really rough and gruff father was brought along as well. And pretty soon, the whole family was involved in this church. This little girl that Glendora invited to church grew up in that church. And from that church, she met a really fine Christian gentleman and married him. And they went on to have children. And they brought their children to church. And gradually, throughout time, in their own good way, each of those children said that they loved the Lord Jesus Christ and were brought into the kingdom of God, especially by the example of their parents. Now, one of their children, a son, went on to be a missionary in a far-off land for the Lord Jesus Christ. And another one of their sons went on to be a pastor of a church. And today, that guy is the pastor of Mount Hermon Baptist Church in Moseley, Virginia. Because the little girl's name was Eva, my mother. And Glendora invited my mother to church and brought her to the Lord. That's how it works. That's how it works. Really ordinary, isn't it? But that's how it works. They do these surveys of people and ask them, why don't you go to church? Why aren't you involved in a Christian fellowship? You know what the biggest answer, the most often given answer is? Well, nobody invited me. That's it! Nobody invited me. Very, 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 very few people will say, well, I have some severe misgivings about several theological perspectives about the Holy Trinity. They don't say stuff like that. They just simply say, well, nobody invited me. Now, it's true, we live in a country where religion is considered to be a very private matter, is it not? And therefore, we kind of tend to leave it that way. We kind of think that it's not meant for us to go public with our faith. But do you get that from Jesus? Now, we got that from somewhere else. When you get it from Jesus, he makes it look like, for all in the world, like this is something public. That he does expect you to stand up. That he does expect you to do it out there in front of God and everybody. And what's with this private stuff? That's not in Jesus' mindset or vocabulary. Where is he out there saying that the kingdom of God is at hand? He's at the workplace, whether it be in the marketplace or there along the Sea of Galilee with the fishermen. He's in the temple. He's in the streets of the city. He's in the marketplace. Time and time and again, he's bumping into people and saying, hey, come follow me. Follow me. But what do you and I say to people? Well, probably something like, excuse me, I don't mean to get personal. And, you know, I don't mean to bother you about this. And, you know, we're very apologetic. And if you are honest, that's not so much a sign of humility as it is a sign of laziness on our parts. We just get really nervous about bothering somebody else about their beliefs. So we just say, well, that's a personal business of theirs and none of my business, and make this huge mistake. Now, I'm as North American as you are, okay? But I can't let you off the hook on this. We can't be like this. Not if we're following Jesus Christ, who's the one giving us the directives about how to go about this business. As a matter of fact, we probably ought to think that if you were in a burning building and you found somebody who was walking around confused in that burning building and the smoke and the heat and so forth, you wouldn't walk up to him and her or her and say, you know, I hate to bother you about this, and I don't mean to be personal or anything, but I kind of think maybe the exit might be over there, and if you really feel like it, you might want to walk over that direction. You wouldn't do that, would you? You'd grab them by the neck or the grab them by the arm or whatever, and you'd pull them that way, and you'd say, hey, it's over here. Let's get out. Let's get out. You know, hell is real. I don't slam on it and hit it a lot and talk about it a lot, but it's very, very real. And wouldn't if it's a dangerous place to be going toward, don't we have a right, a reason to grab people, try to, and pull them toward the exit and safety? It really is that urgent. And you and I might say to ourselves, oh yes, I believe that with all my heart, but I'm just not good at talking about my faith, you know? I don't know the right words to use. I get really nervous. Well, I suppose the church could do a better job of equipping people to share their faith, but how many of you would bother to attend a class or a session or a seminar on about how to share your faith? How many of us would do that? Probably not many, because we think it's hard. And Jesus demonstrates it's just not as hard as you think. Where do you start? You start where people are. These guys were knee-deep in fish. So we talked about fish. If somebody else is knee-deep in something else, we still relate to what they're concerned with. Maybe if somebody's in the medical field, a doctor or a nurse or something, and you say, well, you know, you like enjoy healing people's bodies? That's wonderful. That's great. Would you like to be involved in healing people's spirits? Healing their souls? Come on. Follow me. We start where people are. God just does the rest. God transforms it. God uses it to bring people into His kingdom. Now, you consider what brought you to church the first time. Was it something that was outside on the sign, you know, of the church, first church you ever went to and got involved in? Was it a brilliant sermon or something like that? No, it was somebody you knew, some friend who just slipped you in there and invited you and brought you along. You and I have gotten so satisfied with just relating to our own members or just keeping house or just being busy doing a lot of the busy things we can do in church that we've forgotten, oh yeah, we're in the fishing business. And we really are meant to bring people in. Not to the institution, not to the organization. Those are secondary. But into the kingdom of God. That's primary. Absolutely. Will Willimon recalls a time when he was he's a well-known Christian teacher and writer and preacher and so forth. He was invited to speak at a church. And he said he went to the church. He made a point to come there early. He was going to meet with the pastor. He was looking for the office. But for the life of him, he could not tell, as he looked at that church, where the office was located. He went to one side of the building and he tried two doors, and they were locked. And so he went around another side, found four doors. All of them were locked. He went around that building for a whole 10 minutes before he finally bumped into the right door and found his way in. And Willimon says, that's pretty much a parable of the church, isn't it? The members of that church know very well how to get into the building. And they know where the office is. But the problem is they don't even think about how things appear to outsiders. They don't even think of how to let people know how and when to trust Jesus. We can do a better job, can't we, of helping people know, making it clear? Let's return to the analogy of fishing for just a little bit. What do you need when you go fishing? You need good bait, right? You ought to have the right kind of bait for the right kind of fish you're trying to catch out there. Or you need good nets, if that's the way you're doing it. But if you don't put the bait in the water, are you going to catch fish? Well, heck no. Got to put that bait in the water. And the trouble is, we're pretty selective about the waters that we want to fish in, right? Oh, this water is full of Mexicans. Yeah, you know, they're not going to relate to us, so we better fit. Oh, no, this pond over here is full of blacks, and I don't know if we'll relate to each other too well. Or, ooh, this pond over here has a lot of, I don't know, stinky people in it. I mean, they're poor, they're stupid, they're just not one of us. What we're looking for is white middle-class folks who have it all together, just like us. Let's go fish there. Is that Jesus' methodology? Boy, not if you read this book. It's not. Uh-uh. Not at all. As a matter of fact, he went toward those ponds and rivers and streams to find those kind of people. If you're going fishing with Jesus, you got to do it on his terms. You really do. And how many times do you throw the bait out there? How many of you go fishing, you throw the line out there one time, you reel it in one time, and say, "Oh, I haven't caught anything, I'm going home." Are you that bad at fishing? When you go fishing, how many times do you throw it out there? Two? Three? Four? A dozen? 11? Maybe 100 times. But you know, you're not going to get a bite every time. You might not even get a nibble. But you're going for that 11-pound, 5-ounce bass out there. And eventually, there's a bite. You have no idea, but we ought to fish in that sort of way with determination and just keep on doing it, keep on doing it. Somebody will listen. Somebody will get it. Somebody will be brought into the kingdom of God because you just did it. You did it to the best you knew how. You just did it. You know what I'm really afraid of is that God has given us each a stringer. If you're following Jesus, he gives you a stringer. And come judgment day, he's going to look at that stringer. I'm going to be really embarrassed if I look at my stringer and say, "Well, I haven't caught anything." Do you want to show up with an empty stringer? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for calling us to fish with your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Heavenly Father, forgive us for standing on the banks with our hands in our pockets and letting somebody else do the fishing. That's not what you said. Heavenly Father, thank you for the joy of fishing. Thank you for the joy of helping people connect with your love and grace and mercy. It's such a wonderful and positive thing. We look forward, Lord, to the ways that you're going to lead us to talk to the person next to us, to share with our friend that we haven't really brought the name of Jesus up to before. And you're going to open our mouths, and you're going to open our hearts, and you're going to help us really to put our care where the rubber meets the road and do this. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.